When the storm clouds are rolling over the horizon in our lives, it's so easy to lose sight of the fact that God is a God who delights to bless us. Maybe we have a distorted view of blessing, whatever it is. It's so easy to forget that just around the next corner or over the next rise, there's a harvest about to happen. I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at the promises of God from a different perspective. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'm going to tell you about our latest life application booklet, Does God Really Want to Bless Me? It's all about helping you to actually live in the blessings that God has for you. Well, over these last few days we've been following the fortunes of a small family way back in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth. It's been quite a journey that God took them on, and it's a journey that many of us relate to here and now, because so often the Lord our God leads us through tragedy and despair on the way to his blessings. So here it is in a nutshell. Elimelech was an Israelite. He lived with his wife Naomi and two sons in Bethlehem. A famine strikes, so they flee into enemy territory, the land of Moab, in order to survive. The sons of the family take Moabite wives, but after some years, the father Elimelech dies, and so do both of the sons, leaving Naomi the mother destitute in a foreign land, with her now two widowed daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. She decides to return to Bethlehem after all these years, lamenting her loss. How could God have done this to her? She left the promised land with a husband and two sons. She returns just over a decade later with just one Moabite daughter-in-law. Surely the Lord has dealt harshly with her. Surely this was unfair. Have you ever felt like that? Wondering, what is God up to? And how come he allows these tragedies to happen all along the way? I certainly have. Which is why the journey of Naomi and Ruth is a journey that resonates so deeply with me. Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is that Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, but call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" It's a pretty natural reaction to blame God. And so we've seen this week, just through the first chapter of the book of Ruth, the difficult circumstances that Naomi found herself in. And don't forget Ruth. Her husband, one of Naomi's sons, has also died. And for better or for worse, and against Naomi's advice, Ruth has thrown her lot in with Naomi. As a Moabite woman, she's chanced to travel to Bethlehem, to a foreign land where she'll be scorned by the Israelites. And so they arrived in Bethlehem. It caused quite a stir. People hadn't seen Naomi for over 10 years. As I look back on my life, and no doubt as you look back on yours, we see parts of our journey that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. Circumstances, situations, people that seemingly turned against us in ways that seemed unfair or inexplicable. We shake our heads and we remember the pain. We wonder, as Naomi did, "God, why did you let this happen to me?" But I want to pick up now, as the week draws to a close, just one verse, the last verse of the first chapter of the book of Ruth, and just let that verse sow a seed of hope and anticipation and blessing into our hearts, because my hunch is that that's precisely what the Lord our God wants to do for you and for me today. So Ruth has returned home after a long and disastrous stay in Moab. She's accompanied by her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth. And poor old Naomi is pretty much rock bottom. She's lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. Her pleasant demeanor has been replaced by the bitterness that's pouring out of her heart. And this is what God tells us. Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. They arrived at Bethlehem when? Just at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, city slickers like me hear that word harvest, and it really doesn't mean too much to us. It just kind of washes by. But harvest time is the culmination of all the farmer's work. It's the time of reaping the reward. A successful harvest brings great joy and a sense of accomplishment and relief and safety and provision, not just for the farming families, but for the whole community. That's what a harvest means in a society where people live hand-to-mouth, subsistence farming lives. So when the Bible talks about harvests, that's the sense of what's going on. And remember, way back then, there was no welfare, there was no government assistance or anything else. If the harvest failed, people starved. It's still like that in many parts of the world today. Suffice to say, what I'm trying to get to here is the fact that the harvest is a big deal. It's a huge deal. If you live in a rural area, you already know that. But it's not something that necessarily is that obvious to us city slickers. And at the beginning of the harvest is a time of optimism, a time of anticipation of the reward that's about to be reaped. And it's something the whole community, as we'll see next week on the program, rich or poor, will benefit from. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. What a great time for them to arrive. Was it planned that way? Well, probably not. Circumstances had overtaken Naomi. She was headed home, and lo and behold, the harvest was just kicking off. A coincidence? Well, I don't believe in coincidences. Here, for the first time in the book of Ruth, we can discover, if we're looking closely, the great unseen player in this whole drama, God himself. The God who hears the cries and the anguish of his people. The God who makes all things to work together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. The God who ached for Ruth and Naomi mightily in a way that they could never have appreciated at the time. As we'll see next week on the program, as we continue along this journey into God's blessing with Naomi and Ruth, the harvest, this particular harvest, turned out to hold blessings for these two widows in a way that they simply could never have comprehended as they wandered down that dusty road toward Bethlehem. Sure, the harvest had just begun. I mean, that would have been obvious as they walked past the fields. But the blessing of that particular harvest was yet to unfold. It was God's time to pour his blessing out on them, and ultimately, through them, as it turns out, on you and me. I want to encourage you today, if you're in a place along your journey where everything's fallen into a heap, as it had done for Naomi, where the future is different and daunting and uncertain as it was for Ruth, I want to encourage you in the knowledge that somewhere along the line, God has a harvest plan for you. It may not be the harvest you were expecting. What God blessed Naomi and Ruth with, they could never have dreamed up in a million years. That's the way it is with God's harvest, God's blessing. And the knowledge that that harvest is coming is something that gives me on my journey such a great sense of joy and security. Instead of wailing and carrying on, it brings a peace to my heart, a joy in the knowledge that no matter how dark things get along the way, my God is up to something good. We can't see it all yet. We don't know how it's going to play itself out, but God is up to something good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Friend, harvest comes around year after year after year. A harvest is something that you can't stop. It's harvest time, and it happens. And God's harvest time cannot be robbed from us. It cannot be taken. God's harvest cannot be defeated. And as we're going to see over these coming weeks on the program, the harvest, this barley harvest, had a blessing that no one could ever have imagined. Social media. Well, love it or hate it. It's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one of the simple, practical, and powerful ways that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, and be encouraged and blessed, as well as share some of that with your friends too. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.